This is Bucky Bacaw with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. I'm in Nottingham, New Hampshire, and I'm with Steve-O and Rhoda and their flock. Does the farm have a name?
No, no names.
Only one.
Well, we call the rooster Bob because Rhoda is a librarian and there was a children's book.
There's a rooster named Bob and he looks like our Bob. And I believe Bob is trying to figure out what his job is in the farm.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're just, the Dominique roosters are just glorious.
Is he considered pretty close to ideal and typey, or is it just to my eye
know.
That he's awesome?
Well, our standard is, does he reproduce and does he defend the hens?
And does he not attack us?
And yes, the first one was a very aggressive rooster. And you could not turn your back on him if you went out there. And
Bob is, I mean, we've seen him a couple of times. I mean, there's a call he makes that you know there's something there. And we'll see all the hens have scurried down under the bushes by the house. They're all under the rhododendrons out of, you know, because there's a hawk flying overhead or something. So Bob keeps a pretty good eye on the yard, and that when he makes a certain noise, those hens have no question what he's saying. They are out.
Yeah, that
there.
Was interesting. It was kind of like an air raid drill or something. He just made this noise, and they went. Every hen in the yard just bolted to this little sheltered spot. You know.
Tell us how you got started. And
I think the permaculture started first. Mm-hmm. No. The radio show started first. The radio show that you appear on.
Right, thank you very much.
Amy and Steve do, and I helped out a little bit. And I was involved with the station. And we got to some point of being both interested in the same kind of thing. And when we both wanted to do chickens, we decided to do it together.
Well, we didn't have land at the time.
That's right.
And you, of course, have all this beautiful land. So, but you go away sometimes, and you were a little unsure about getting into it yourself. So we thought we'd do it as a team effort and see how it went.
And that's how the chicken partners. So our first flock, we housed entirely here. And we pretty much took care of them except when we went away and we shared the eggs, and when we went away you guys would come take care of them.
So there's 12 now?
Yeah.
Okay. And what did you get started with in your original flock?
26.
Well, we bought 26 straight run. And so we ended up with,
I think, 7 girls.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say 7 to 9 girls out of the straight run.
Yeah, sure, right. Because it was corporate straight run, which means somebody had been pulling out all
the time. It was corporate 50-50.
Right, yeah. Corporate 50-50. So you culled your very first year as chickeners?
We harvested the males.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Except for Bob 1.
So those
were we kept the rooster for the sake of security.
I jumped out. I left town the day they called them.
Okay. I was going to ask. So how did
I did know someone who had raised a lot of chickens, and I had him.
That's right.
Come
That's
over
David.
And
yeah.
work with them for their first butchering.
Yeah, a man in our town who has raised chickens for who knows how long.
All his life.
Yeah, his grandmother and grandfather raised them. Yeah. Which is one of the wonderful things, if you can hook up with somebody who has been doing this for longer than you've been doing it.
So we did have a lot of chickens that wanted to brood. We had quite a few hens that first year. We decided we should try to brood our own eggs.
And how'd that work out?
We learned a lot the first year. We didn't really know what we were doing. We ended up having eggs of various ages. The chicken, we hadn't isolated the broody hen. The other hens kept laying more eggs in there, and we had a very mixed bag. And so when they did hatch, we did get a couple of chickens, but she didn't, once they started to hatch, she abandoned the nest. But we were successful to some extent, and we loved the idea of having a broody hen because she, from there on out, she took care of everything for us.
Right.
Taking care of the babies, and we eventually ended up, one of our speckled Sussex was the broodiest of them all, and we used her for a couple of years. She was a really good hen, and we also kind of separated her brooding spot off so that the other hens couldn't bother her, and we collected the eggs and put all the eggs that she brooded on underneath her at the same time, and we made a spot for once the chickens hatched, the little baby chicks to sort of be in the hen house, the coop, but not right where the big guys could get them. And she was great until she had enough of mothering at the end. She kind of went a little bonkers and started attacking her chicks and stuff. So we haven't had a good broody hen since.
Right. It's funny that she was good at it and then wasn't. But you learned an awful lot. I mean, you really jumped in with both feet and with a mix of asking people, but also just observing firsthand. So it was almost like you had the pioneer experience.
Right? Yeah. Well, it's good to do it with other people because you're a little bit bolder when you get an idea in your head or you have a problem or whatever. Other people that you work with are going to know things you don't know and so forth.
Yeah.
And so it's very good. And the intimidating thing about getting animals is the idea of 24/7, 365 care that animals require. And if you do it with partners, you ease that.
Right. Well, and
pressure.
Has it been 24/7 or just... You need somebody to check in on them regularly.
Right.
I mean, how much have you found?
Yes, it isn't. We don't have to sit here. I was using that 24/7 because that's what people say. But in fact, it's a twice a day responsibility, and basically a little more bedding, clean water, and food, and
make sure
they're okay. Yeah.
Collect eggs.
Yeah, indeed. Close them up at night.
What's been your favorite thing about having chickens?
Favorite thing. I just love to see them here, and if I didn't get a single egg or a single bit of meat out of them, I think they're worth having for the poop, for the compost.
How has it changed your gardening?
Oh,
you were already doing gardening.
Yeah,
we're already doing gardening, but we didn't have a supply of compost such as we have from the chickens. Uh-huh. I think chickens are the champion compost machine.
The conversion rate for their size is very
rapid. Oh, it's
rapid.
Incredible. Well, we've gardened for a long time.
Yeah, and I mean, you go back and we had read, 30 years ago that without animal composting, it's really hard to provide a fertile soil. And we're always like, no, we don't want to have animals. We don't want to, but... Now that we do, it's a huge difference. Yeah. I love going over to the compost.
Yeah. And how's the management? Is it complicated or?
Right, yeah, we have rotated the space that they have access to. We've actually had spaces that we let them into, and after they got finished with it, it looked like you had rototilled it. Put Troy built to shame, you know.
Right. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really enjoyed seeing your space and meeting Bob and meeting you folks. And I had a good time.
Well, thank
Keep
you
on
for
checking
coming
in.
By.
Thanks for coming by. Thanks. Enjoyed meeting you.